I have a word for not only the body of Christ, but for this church, if you'll turn to Isaiah 43. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Has everybody got it? He what? He makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things. Hello. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a what? A new thing. Now it shall spring forth, says the Lord. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's revival. When he chooses to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, hallelujah, that means God's getting ready to do something brand spanking new. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Are you chosen? Amen. We're not frozen chosen, are we? We're free chosen. This people I have formed for my what? For myself. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my what? Praise. That means Lion of Judah. The tribe of Judah represents praise. The word Judah means praise. Amen? So we see here, he says, listen, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. Now we know that there's been a shift in the spirit. We've talked about this. We know there's a brand new thing going on. Amen? And as God begins to shake, believe me, when he starts to do a new thing, the first thing he does is expose. He begins to clean up. See, because what does a river do? It moves, doesn't it? You know what it does? It cleans. Amen? It takes all the garbage and everything. You throw garbage in the river and it flows. It begins to open up the banks. And what's happening right now is God is cleaning his church. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God first, doesn't it? Let me express something. Exposure comes. Hallelujah. The one thing that when exposure comes, the reason why exposure comes is because people aren't willing to change. Does everybody understand that? See, when God begins a new thing, you got to be willing to change with the new thing. Does everybody understand? It's just like going scuba diving. You better put some gear on if you're going to go down to 140 feet, 150 feet, right? If you're going to do a new thing, you've never scuba dived before and chosen, you've made the choice to learn how to scuba dive, you better know what you're doing. In other words, you can't change. You can't make that condition change to you. You must change according to the condition. Now, don't get this confused about circumstances in your life, because circumstances are not to move you, are they? Amen. I'm talking about something that God is doing, not what the devil's doing. God is doing a new thing, and that shift in the spirit has been going on for months. I called a gentleman today that the Lord has been putting on my heart for about 2 or 3 weeks. I've been praying for him every day, lifting him up, and he's actually an ex-neighbor. He used to live on the same block I did up in New York. And he had gotten saved and delivered before I did. He was dying of, liver stuff and kidneys. And he was an alcoholic. And, you know, he was basically dying. And the Lord visited him and healed him and delivered him. And he's been preaching now for many years, probably about 20 years, 15 years, something like that. I'm not really sure, but it's been a lot longer than me. And he was involved also in Toronto when some of the Toronto blessing was going on, the Toronto revival. And the Lord put on my heart to call him. I said, Lord, if this is you, because he's a very busy man, he travels all over. They go to Romania and other countries and so forth. And I said, Lord, have him answer the phone. Well, the phone was ringing. I said, well, I'll give it another ring here. If he doesn't answer, then I missed you. Well, he answered. And we began to talk, and he began to speak about the same things of what we've been speaking about in the last 2 or 3 months. You know? Some of the things about the shift in the river and about being in position. That's all he kept saying. Man, you got to be in position right now. That's all he kept saying, is you got to be in position. And one of the things that I share with him what was on my heart to teach tonight, he said, man, that's the ticket. He said, the problem is people aren't willing to change. And I want to talk about the fear of change, because that's what it's about. Listen, the fear to change, amen? Not the fear from change, because there are people who are afraid of change, aren't they? Man, they see things going different and so forth. Listen, God's doing a new thing, because he's shaking the garbage. You know, he's shaking the church loose from the religiosity and the traditions of men. He's shaking the church loose right now. He wants to know who those are willing to obey him and follow him and not do the will of man or tradition. There's a brand new thing going on. Brand new. And it's just not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 9. Oh, hallelujah. Fear to change. That's the name of the project tonight. Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. You know, he's going through the same thing what we went through. They had put a down payment on like 18 acres or something like that. And the city won't let them build. So he's got to go through law, legal stuff and whatever. They had been on there. They remodeled all of these buildings that were on there and all this stuff and whatever. Getting ready to, they were doing church there and everything. And the city came and closed them down and made them move. So they're legally fighting that now. I told them, man, you should call the people that used God sent to us. Hallelujah. And Matthew chapter 9 and verse 16. This is where the scripture says, would you read it with me? No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made what? Worse. Let me share something with you. If you're not willing to change, your condition will get worse. Is everybody with me? I mean, I'm serious about this tonight. There's a move of God going on. You're either in the river, you're willing to change, you're willing to submit, or your condition's going to get worse. And he says this, he says, nor do they put a new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into a what? New wineskin, and both are preserved. So this is when we were talking about that new wine that's coming. So we've got to change, don't we? This new wineskin that we've got to put on comes with a change. You must desire to change. You cannot fear change. Hello? Everybody with me? Praise God. Fear of change will result in a what? Worse condition. It causes us to miss God and the training process of his destiny for you. See, when there's a change, it's a training process for your destiny. People will fall off or miss their destiny. They'll miss that specific call. Because every moment, everything right now is so important that we are in tune. Positioning. We talked about positioning and the importance of being physically positioned. That means being at the right place at the right time. Amen? And spiritually positioned, meaning of the heart. Is your heart right? Your heart's got to be right. So we see here people who are not willing to change. It causes us to miss God and the training process for our destiny. Amen? Because you're learning. There's still that training, isn't there? It never stops, does it? Go to Psalm 55. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Glory. Psalm 55 and verse 16. Did I say that? Psalm 55, verse 16. Yeah. Okay. Is everybody there? Read it with me. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall what? Save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. He shall redeem my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they what? They do not change. Therefore, they do not fear or reverence God. What's going to happen to them? It says that they're going to get afflicted, right? In other words, here's God. He's saying, listen, if you're not willing to change, something's going to happen. Is everybody with me? One of the things that's going to happen is it's going to allow an open door to the enemy to you. See, when God moves and you don't move with him, hello, then God's not with you, is he? Does everybody understand that? Not that we, don't get me wrong, not that we don't live and have our being in him, right? But when you're saying, Lord, your will, your will, your will, your will, your will, and you're not willing, hello? And you're not willing, and you're going, well, Lord, your will, but my will be done. That ain't going to work. You've got to be willing to change. But there is so much fear in individuals to change. So much fear. So two things are going to happen if you're not willing to submit or to change according to the will of God. It will be an open door to the enemy to you in the chastening of the Lord. You will be chastened somehow. And sometimes that's through exposure, isn't it? Amen? So you can't just play church. You just can't play believer. You can't play like you're doing the, oh, and then you're doing something else behind closed doors. God will expose you. Does everybody understand that? God will expose you, and he will chasten you. Because he's a loving daddy. The Bible says he chastens those he what? Loves. He doesn't expose us to shame us. He exposes us to rescue us. Amen? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Those who don't want to change, it brings a believer into a backslidden position if you're not willing to change. Come on, say it with me. It puts a believer into a backslidden position. In other words, you are vulnerable for back. See, if you're not willing to go forward, you're going which way? Backwards. So if you're not willing to change, you're backslidden. You're backsliding then. Does everybody understand that? Glory. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Verse 7. Everybody there? We can all read this together. For God has what? Not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we know that there is a spirit of fear. So we know that that's attacking the believers of Jesus, the followers in the body of Christ. This spirit of fear, which the fear to change, attacks people. And it says it messes with the mind, doesn't it? Amen? It messes with love. And it messes with power. And we all need a sound mind, don't we? Amen. The spirit of fear. Let me share a couple things about this. We lose the power over the enemy, the love from God and for others, and we lose the like-mindedness with Christ. Is everybody with me? That spirit of fear grabs us and grips us. And if you're not willing to change, and that fear to change, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. Because the Bible says that as a man thinks, he, so he is. So if the enemy can snag you in the mind of fearing the change, you know, one of the reasons why people don't want to change is because the first thing is they're afraid to lose something that they don't even own, but they think they do. As a man thinks, so he is. You got to remember, the enemy attacks so subtle. So subtle. It'd be nice if he came up to us and said, "Hi, I'm the devil, I'm going to do this," but he doesn't do that, does he? There are other areas. Once you begin to associate with one spirit of fear, you begin to associate with them all. Is everybody with me? Once you associate with one spirit of fear, you begin to associate with them all. But see, you don't realize they're all there until they begin to manifest. Oh, hallelujah. One of the things that happens is, like I said, people are afraid of fear of change, which is outside. Amen? Fear of change, things that are around them. And many people are afraid of fear that's to change because of what the outside is doing. And again, we cannot be moved by our what? Circumstances. Amen? Praise God. Now listen. Like I said, the first thing is, most people are afraid of losing something. There's another one, fear of responsibility. See, if people have to change, they have to gain responsibility, don't they? A fear of responsibility. Some are afraid of fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear of exposure. Fear of humility. Let me share the most potent one. Fear of commitment. Fear. If they have to change. You know, many people won't say yes to something because then they're committed. Amen? So many people won't say yes to change because it makes them what? Committed. They're bound by pride and tradition. They can't let loose. Fear prevents growth. So for us to change, and if you've been associated with this fear of change because you're afraid of losing something or whatever, fear of responsibility and so forth, that's where Jesus came into the world, and the first thing he said is repent because the kingdom of God is at hand, right? Well, the word repent means what? Change your mind. So changing your mind will loose you. In other words, once you repent, let's just say you're afraid of doing something. You're afraid of change. Well, you got to repent because now you're associating with the powers of darkness, aren't you? See, when you do not obey God in an area, when he's saying it's time to change, there's a shift in the spirit, you got to go with the flow, you got to change. Hello? And you're not willing to change, then you're shaking hands with the enemy. You're saying, okay, I'm going to serve you today. Now, you may think it's just today, but he's got your number now. Amen? He's got your number, and he knows exactly how to use this. That's why the Bible says, make no place for the devil. It only takes one little arena where we make place for the devil, and he's so subtle that you won't even know he's there. One little area of fear. And the next thing you know, you're getting, things are happening more and more. And next thing you know, you're getting gripped in certain areas. You're afraid to make decisions. And if you're afraid to make decisions, you're afraid of change. Has everybody got it? That's one of the areas that the enemy is attacking tremendously now because God is doing a new thing. He's saying, listen, my church has got to change. My body's got to change. I'm doing a new thing. I'm getting ready to move. I'm getting ready to flow through the body of Christ because I'm coming before I come physically. I'm coming through the body. And let me tell you something. We must make way for him. Hello? We must prepare the way. That's what John the Baptist did, didn't he? See, that's why we're in the spirit of Elijah. We're making way. We're preparing the way of the Lord. And he's going to first come through the body of Christ before he personally comes. So that's why the kingdom of God will be manifested first by repentance. Repentance. That's what's going everywhere right now. Everybody's repenting. Amen? Hey, let me tell you, the body of Christ needs to repent a lot more, even some of the unbelievers. Because of the foolishness. Because of the touching of the unclean things. Because of the lying and the deceptions. Because of playing church and not really having a relationship. Because of religiosity. There is a big repentance flowing. Why? Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. So God is cleaning His church. He cleans it by the blood. Amen? Cleans it by the blood. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 15. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Matthew 15 and verse 1 through 6. You want to read it with me? It said, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your what? Your traditions.'" You know what? They weren't willing to change, were they? Their traditions had them so bound that they are afraid to change. Their doctrine had them so bound that they were afraid to change. Hello? Think about how many people you know that are bound by the letter because they are afraid to change. You know why? Because they're afraid of disobeying the letter because they don't have a relationship with the Word Himself. Amen? They think sometimes that, oh, if I do this, I'm going to hell. They fear change. They're so bound to their tradition that they can't change. They can't be led. Amen? In verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have, receive from me a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions." And of course, he calls them what? Hypocrites. Hypocrites are people who are afraid to change. They fear change. Somebody got it? They fear it. They can't flow. And they miss God, didn't they? They truly miss God right here. Go to Matthew 25. And we talked about some of this before already. Matthew 25. How many of y'all want to miss God? Didn't think so. So you're willing to change. You can't let fear prevent you from changing. But it just doesn't feel right. Oh, hallelujah. Then God is your feelings. You know, people don't want to change because they're afraid of what people might say about them, especially some of the youth, because they're caught up in the arena of peer pressure. They're afraid what people might say. They're afraid. Fear's got them bound. Amen? I'm not saying this for everyone. There are those that are just fearful. They're not willing to let go because the enemy has got them so bound to fear. What will they think? What would they think if I go to school and cast the devil out? Hallelujah. That should be a pleasure. That should be a sport. How many did you cast out today? 4 for you and 3 for you. Praise God. You know? We've got to start a whole new system here. I'm telling you, there's a change coming. We need to start rewarding kids that are going to school and casting out devils. Laying hands on the sick, getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there ought to be rewards. Jesus has got rewards to them. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, and it talks about the wise virgins and the foolish ones. Right? It says that in the kingdom of heaven shall be likened the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were boneheads, right? They were fearful. They didn't want to change. So they stayed in their tradition, didn't they? Five of them were wise and five were not wise. They were foolish, right? Of course, when the Lord showed up, they weren't ready, were they? Do you understand that? See, why didn't they go be led? Because they were afraid to change. Has everybody got it? They were afraid to change. So they didn't do the right thing. And of course, we know that wisdom tells us what to do, doesn't it? So they didn't have the wisdom. One of the things that gripped them was they were fearful of changing. What brought them into that position, possibly because it said they were all sleeping? Complacency. Laziness. I'm comfortable. You kidding? If I move out of my comfort zone, I can't. There are people who cannot move out of their comfort zone. They think if they move out of their comfort zone, then it's not God. Has everybody got it? Come on, think about Peter getting off the boat and stepping on the water. You think he was comfortable? His knees were probably knocking so loud that they made a new song. He said, Lord, command me. He said, man, I ain't going out there without you. Command me. Come on out in this water. I want to see what you're doing there. I like that. Jesus said, come on, Peter. Everybody else was underneath the boat probably. He stepped on the water. Then what hit him? Fear. Then he started sinking, right? You know, but he was not fearful at that moment to what? To change. Can you imagine what was going through his mind? He's seeing Jesus walking on the water. I want that. Man, I won't have to go pull this boat out any longer. I won't have to throw the net in. Maybe I can just walk in the water and grab some fish and bring them home. Man, I'm going to change. You know what he was thinking? I want to be just like him. I want to change. I want to be just like him. Whoa, what a business. In verse 26. Then we had the faithful stewards, right? And he says that after they all, he gave the three the talents out to the three stewards. One was afraid, right? Verse 25, I'm sorry. He says, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He was afraid, wasn't he? He wasn't willing to change. Do you understand that? He was afraid to change. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and what? Lazy. You wicked and what? Lazy. Servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming I would have received back my own with what? Interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So we see here, he wasn't willing to change. He was afraid of change. I'm telling you, fear grips individuals, and God's trying to change them. You must cooperate with God in everything. He doesn't come up to you and wiggle your mouth and say, or your tongue and say, okay, pray in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't do that. We're supposed to walk by faith, aren't we? Amen? Faith. So you're supposed to meet him. He actually meets you. Hallelujah. Not willing to change. Oh, go to verse, let's see. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. Glory to God. Some people you want to look at and say, man, you ain't changed yet. What's the matter with you? You still doing that same stuff? Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16. First Samuel 16, verse 13. Everybody there? Let's go to 15 first. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Let's go to 15. Yeah, we'll go to 13. 15, 13. Hallelujah. King Saul had many opportunities to change, but he feared change, didn't he? Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, "Blessed are you, O the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Whoa, was he in for a big surprise? But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "What do you mean, man? What's up? They have brought from the Amalekites, from the people spared, the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." So he thought he was doing the will of God. He said, "Man, I brought you the best." And Samuel said to him, "Saul, be quiet. Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?'" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission of which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." Now we know that Samuel turned around and says, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I" what? "Feared the people and obeyed their voice." Let me share something with you. This moved Saul right out of position, didn't it? Why? Because he feared to change. He feared to change. So what did he do? He obeyed the voice of people. Why? Because he was fearing man, wasn't he? He wanted to be a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Now, go to for next chapter, 16. Verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord, what? Departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. I want to share something else with you. Not only does not changing, not willing to change, move you out of position, but also opens the door to demonic activity in your life. What happened when the Holy Spirit backed off of Saul? A distressing spirit came. So everybody got it. A distressing spirit came. So we can't allow fear to change, interfere with our walk with God. We've got to be willing to change no matter what. Everybody says, "Yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, as long as it's pleasing to me." Hallelujah. No. That's what people want to say, though, isn't it? "I'm willing to do whatever it takes as long as it's pleasing to me." Amen? But that's not how it is. We're supposed to be willing to do whatever it takes as long as it's pleasing to him. Amen? So Saul wouldn't change. It opened the door to demonic activity. You know what happened? He eventually committed suicide. He killed himself. Fell on his own sword because of the torment. He wanted his armor bearer to kill him, but he couldn't. He was too afraid to. So he fell on his own sword. Oh, hallelujah. That's a whole nother story. Let's go to Judges 16. Some people go, "I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm willing to change. Do I have to today? Do I have to right now? But I got some things to clear up. I got some things to do. Fear of change. You know why? They're afraid of losing something, aren't they? Do you see, I mean, if you really begin to look in the spirit in the arena, once you associate with one spirit of fear, the rest of them are there. And they'll play you like candy. Verse 18. Now we know Samson was a man of God, chosen, a Nazarite. The Lord said, don't cut your hair. Hallelujah. Praise God. Said, don't cut your hair. Don't let no razor come to your head. You'll lose your power. And that was not mystical or magical. Does everybody understand it? It was because he had to obey God all the way. Amen. He had to obey God. Because he was supposed to have been sanctified. No razor was to come to his head at all. But, you know, one of the things that he was involved with, because he had the anointing and he had the strength and so forth, he took it for granted. He wasn't willing to change. He was not willing to change. He feared change. He became prideful. And his mom and dad said, listen, don't be hanging around that girl over there. And he marries one and then goes to another and so forth. He ended up with Delilah. In verse 18 it says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistine came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lured him to sleep on his knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. And his strength left him. Hallelujah. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before, as before, as before. I got no problem with this. I'm anointed. I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, he wasn't willing to come out of the ungodly relationship, was he? He feared losing her. He feared losing her. You know how many people I see fall because they're afraid of losing the opposite sex? Oh, hallelujah. I get calls later, though. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Where are you at? Oh, jail. Can I come back? Can I come back home? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So we see here, the Philistines took him. Now look at this, is what happened. Verse 21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. Whoa. You know why? Fear to change. Didn't want to change. Become blinded. See, when the anointing is flowing, which he had the anointing, but he got caught up in the worldly affairs of lust, the anointing began to lift from him. God knew exactly what was going to happen. But see, God could not come against his own word, could he? See, he called Samson to do what he was supposed to do. He also anointed him for it, but he could not come against his own word. So once Samson was totally disobedient, he was gone. He lifted right up. And the first thing that happened to him is they plucked out his eyes. They plucked out what? His eyes. Why? Because, let me share something with you. When you're not willing to change, you become blind. You become blind. And the only thing that you're concerned about is what is affecting you. Your eyes go on yourself. You become blind. You cannot see the things of the Spirit anymore. Does everybody understand that? And the next thing we do is we go into captivity, become a prisoner of darkness. We don't even realize it. He is very subtle. Very subtle. The next thing you know, you're doing the wrong things. You're behaving like a human. You're behaving like a flesh creature. Right? Why? Because he was afraid to change. Is everybody okay? He abused his calling and anointed and ended up blind and dead. He missed the purpose to set the Jews free. Became very prideful, didn't he? Let me share something with you. When we're not willing to submit or willing to change. Of course, we know that there's rebellion involved, isn't it? It's witchcraft. What we do then is we open the door to what they call an independent spirit. Is everybody with me? An independent spirit. And what that does is help and assist in isolation. People become isolated by this independence. They think they've got it okay. They don't bring their Bibles anymore. They don't, you know what I'm saying? They become prideful. And the enemy is just setting them up. Setting them up. They don't have the hunger for the Word anymore. They think church is the same routine over and over and over. That's an independent spirit. They don't want to come underneath authority or submission. They just want to go and whatever. They go visit churches and they think this. And they think, well, you know, what can I do for this church? Or what can I do for this fellowship? So they think God has sent them. But God has sent them to come underneath authority or submit. Does everybody understand that? They get involved in this independent spirit. And it's a prideful spirit. It's a rebellious spirit. And they can't take authority. What they'll do is they'll twist it. They'll only obey so much. They'll only submit so much. They'll say, okay, okay. And they'll do a little bit, but then they can't really fulfill the whole purpose of it. And they'll do the things that they want to do. That's an independent spirit. I see it in the body of Christ many times. Many times. You know what it is? It's a fear of change. Fear of submitting. Manifests an independent spirit of, and isolates. Uses the excuse, I'm not called or anointed for this or that job. Only to minister or only to do this or only to do that. God won't use them. See, because they're looking at what they think they've been called to, but God will meet you whatever he's going to use you for. Does everybody understand that? This is where people are afraid to change. They're afraid to change. You know, the Lord sent me to these secular classes one time. Oh, hallelujah. It was wonderful. I died. I left my mantle at home. And I went in there and they said, hey, would you like to serve coffee today? I said, sure. And the Lord said, I want you to do it with all your hearts. You know what I did? I went and got them all donuts. And I did this for long time. It was a real long time. I'd say about 3 months, 4 months, something like that. Oh, I had all these little certificates that you had all of these hours in here. Oh, felt like more than hours. But the Lord was sending me there so I can understand the secular arena and how they treat drug addicts and alcoholics, which is plumb crazy. I mean, my spirit was crying out, please, no, another one I got to go to. Oh, please, no. I have to hear this again, how much they believe they have. So let's put a heroin addict on methadone and call it success. Hallelujah. I couldn't handle it. I was dying. But you know what? It changed me. Paul said something very important. He said, I became many things. That many people could be saved. So, I may be pastor today, but tomorrow I could be garbage man. Super garbage man. Amen. So you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, really, truly. I mean, many people say, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I don't want to do that. Hallelujah. In other words, some of them can't authority or submit. Some can't respect authority or submit to the office of the Lord. They just can't do that. Why? Because they're afraid to make a commitment. Does everybody get it? They're really afraid to make a commitment. Man, if I say this and if I submit to this, then I've got to be, I'm committed, I'm responsible and accountable. That's nothing but fear of change, isn't it? Fear to change. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Somebody okay? Oh. If you believe God is speaking directly to you, He is. So don't worry about it. Man, God's speaking right to me. Yes, He is. Glory to God. In verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed. Well, listen, that's the final purpose, isn't it? That we all change. So why delay it? We're going to change with a glorified body, but you know what? We can change inside right now. We can make the choice to change inside now. Amen? We shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So why wait till then? Let's change now. Amen? We need to change now. Go to Proverbs 24. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24. Glory to God. Verses 3 through 6. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. By wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Individuals that are fearful of change cannot take counsel. They will not accept or receive counsel. They can't trust God. Is everybody with me? Wisdom tells us what to do. Fear to change will reject counsel. They make excuses and talk about everything and everyone. They vent all their feelings. Why? Because they're trying to justify why they won't change or why they don't have a desire to change. In fact, in Proverbs 29:11, oh, we're close to it. Let's go there. Proverbs 29:11. Would you read it with me? It says, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back, doesn't he? Now listen. Sometimes some people, they just gotta talk about everything. Do you ever get around someone? They talk. You know why? They don't want to change. They're afraid of changing. Man, if you can get a word in there, that might change them. They might pass out. I call this abusive communication. That's called abusive communication. You ever get somebody, man, I got to talk to you. Oh, here we go again. Now, I know that there's a time to talk, yes. I would never shut anybody down in the arena of after trouble or something to that degree. But I'm talking about just babbling. People just got to talk because they're afraid of change. I'm telling you, it's called abusive communication. Hallelujah. I need to talk to you about it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Romans 8. Abuse of communication. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Anybody see the interview today on TV? It's on at 9 o'clock tonight too. Yep. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our phones have been ringing like we've been giving away money. But praise be to God. It is money. It's eternal. Wade's been busy today. My wife is busy right now. We had over what? Emails. 200, over 210 emails today wanting videos. And how many calls? 100 and 130 or something like that. And the phone was still ringing when I was leaving. Hey, let me tell you. The truth to individuals that are bound by drugs and alcohol, they're going to realize that it's not natural and carnal. They know they're bound by demons. Hopefully they'll run to every close church they can. And the pastor will know how to cast out a devil. Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. We'll reward them how many they cast out. Amen. We got a call from Quebec, Canada. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? To fear. Ooh, that means if you're not led, you're misled. If you're not willing to change, you're bound by fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Wow. Abba, Father. Go to John 3. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. And those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. So when God is doing a move and he's doing a new thing, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you're led by another spirit. You know, there's a really good example about this. Go to 2 Samuel 6 right now for a second. Hallelujah. We'll come back to John 3. Go to 2 Samuel 6. Second Samuel chapter 6. This is when David was moving the ark. Second Samuel chapter 6. Somebody there? Oh, hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. And again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. 30,000 choice men. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baalah, Judah, to bring up there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out in the house of Abiah, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahoah, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of his house, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahoah went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, and fir wood, on harps and stringed instruments, and tambourines, and sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand out to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark. Now, what did he stretch his hand out and touch? The ark, instead of what? The cart. See, he wasn't cleansed enough to touch that ark. Has everybody got it? He wasn't sanctified enough to touch that ark. So God had a tradition. Let me share something with you. This is about the anointing, carrying the anointing of God. God has a specific purpose in how things must be carried. Amen? See, he wasn't willing to change according to the sanctification and cleansing process. Has everybody got it? In other words, they were bypassing it because the ark had been gone so long now. People got complacent, didn't they? He thought, well, I'll just, you know, it's okay, I'll just do this here. We'll put it on a new cart, we'll make a new cart, we'll do whatever. There was no sacrifices, no cleansing, no offerings to the Lord. And when he touched that ark instead of the cart, he died. God said, far be it that you should touch me. Do you understand? That ark represented the presence of God. That man was unclean. And he died right there. Let me tell you something, that shook David. It shook him big time. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me now? Was David willing to change? Yes. He was going to change something. He wasn't going to do it the same way, was he? Amen? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obadiah the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obadiah for 3 months, and the Lord blessed the sacks of. Now it was told to David, saying, the Lord's blessed Obadiah and all that belongs to him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obadiah to the city of David with gladness. Here's the change. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. You know what? He went back to the original. What was it? Sacrifice. The blood. The blood. Those men were now sanctified by the what? Offering. Does everybody understand it? Everything that was moving the ark now was sanctified by the blood. So he went back to the original, how it was supposed to be moved. Why? The blood goes before the what? Spirit. So the sacrifices were going before, weren't they? Oh, they were every 6 paces. Can you imagine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, sacrifice. And they didn't get there that day, I don't think. But they made it. Amen? And the anointing went with them. And because David was willing to change and wasn't afraid about pleasing man, the anointing went with David. Amen? And David was victorious and had favor of God. Now I'll go to John 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. In verse 7 it says, do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is what? Born of God. See, I'm telling you, you've got to be free. You've got to be free to willing to change. You got to be free to willing to move wherever God says, what's going on. You cannot be afraid to change. It'll move you out of position, won't it? Hallelujah. Go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Right next to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Somebody there? Verse 22. you read it with me? Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are what? They are what? New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. New every morning. Change is not instant. It's continuous. Has everybody got it? Change is not instant. It is continuous. It's new every morning. Every day. Every single day you get up, it's a new day. God is expecting you to change according to his purpose that day. Somebody got it? That's why those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. Go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. New every morning. They are new every morning. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Would you read it with me? Therefore what? We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the what? Newness. Let me share. This is just not a one-time event. That's every day. So you should always be walking in the newness of this new life that we have. Has everybody got it? Don't be afraid to change. Well, it just doesn't feel right. Right's not always right. Amen? Traditions of men keep people bound, afraid to change. Then later on they go, man, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I ask to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I step out in faith for the gifts of the Spirit? Why, you know, I passed by that person who was tormented. Why didn't I pray for them? Amen? I could have changed that day. There's something I could have changed. It's new every morning. Walk in a newness. Must change from glory to glory. Amen? It's a new life. Every morning you wake up, you have a new life. Where there's a new life, there's a new change, isn't there? Every day, God is trying to bring us a new change. Amen? Go to Romans 7 while we're here in verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the what? Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. So we see that they're serving in the newness. Walk in the newness. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 23. Did you read it with me? Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says what? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and what? Understanding. Let me share something. When you see the word buy, it means there's a price. There's a price to pay. It says buy the truth. Take the truth. Are you giving truth tonight? Amen. It's truth that makes us free. See, what we've just learned tonight in the impartation is that we cannot fear change. We must look to change. We must have a desire to change. We know that the enemy prevents us from change. How many times have you, God is telling you, listen, it's time to change a job. But you're afraid to change the job because of the benefits. Amen? Because you're afraid to change a job. Because of people you've come comfortable with that know you and you know them. And you've got friends there now and but God is saying, you know, it's time for a change. But you're kind of just shrugging it off. Saying, you know what? I'm comfortable here, Lord. I mean, there's a future here. There's this there. There's that there. Lord, can't you And then something happens where you have no choice but to change. See, if you're calling out to God, Lord, I want your will to be done. Believe me, he's going to cause something to happen, isn't he? So that you come out of your comfort zone. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes he'll put you in the wilderness and show you the river he'll make for you. He puts you in a circumstance sometimes to where it's like, man, I don't know what to do. And God is saying, good. And you're trying all kinds of stuff. You're warfare and you're praying in the spirit. You're spitting cotton and everything else. And you just don't know what to do. He's saying, good. See, because now what he's saying is, I'm going to change you. You know that path you've been on? And all those, I'm about to change that path. I'm going to change. But see, as I begin to change that path, I got to change you. Remember, when he anointed Saul to become king, he said, go hang out with the prophets. Amen? Go hang out with the prophets. Even though you've been anointed already, now you got a call in. There's a call in your life. But there's, I need you to hang out with these people so you can change to handle what I got for you. Amen? See, we go from glory to glory. We go from change to change. If you're not willing to change, and you're calling out on God and saying, Lord, your will, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes, believe me, he's going to cause a circumstance to happen in your life so that you have no choice but to change. Now, if you refuse that change, you miss God, and you'll go around that mountain. Torment will come. Amen? Buy the truth and do not sell. In other words, there's a price to pay. Go to verse 26. It says, my son, give me your what? Oh, hallelujah. Give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my what? Ways. Oh, hallelujah. Buy the truth, give your heart, and observe his ways. Amen? Oh, praise God. Matthew 16. Now, we're going to have a list out here of sign-up sheets for stuff to do in this body. And there's going to be an assortment of things. Amen? And if you hear that you're not anointed to do something specifically, repent. In other words, you might as well just put your name in everything. And we'll pray over it and tell you where you're positioned. Are you willing to change? Hallelujah for you, are good. In Matthew 16, what happens if you don't change? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You become blind, right? It's a backslidden state, isn't it? In Matthew 16 and verse 24, oh, this is wonderful. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him change. No, deny himself. You got to deny yourself to change, right? And take up his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. Must deny self and reject the fear to change. I'm going to close at Revelation 22. Say, I'm going to deny myself. And I'm going to reject, rebuke, and cast down that spirit to change. Fear of change. Amen? Okay. Revelation 22. We better say that one again, huh? Okay, everybody say, I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to reject the fear of change in Jesus' name. Praise God. Should we try it again? No. Glory to God. Revelation 22. Everybody say, spirit of fear, to change. I bind you. I blind you. I mute you. And I cast you to the pit where you came from, never to return. In Jesus' name. I feel better now. Revelation 22. Glory to God. Verse 18. Oh, guy. Verse 18. Sure. Hallelujah. Utarabakuso robasitaria. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Revelation 22. Hallelujah. It's Revelation 3. Close numbers. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Hey, I wasn't afraid to change, were you? Would you read? Get that Holy Ghost eraser out. Come on, y'all know better than how to come here without a eraser. Would you read it with me? In verse 18, I counsel you to what? To buy from me what? Gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? See. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Listen, you're not going to overcome unless you're willing to change. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, God is really preparing us. Don't be afraid of change. And don't be afraid to change. It's important. God makes opportunity for us to change. We want to change more and more in his image and likeness. Don't get so comfortable that you can't change. You know, some people are going, well, I'm waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to make that step to change. Amen? Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your word and every seed that's been imparted tonight, Lord. We know you're getting ready to change us again. So, Lord, thank you for taking us all out of our comfort zone. Thank you for helping us deny ourselves, pick up the cross of Christ, and follow you. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. 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 Yeah. Thursday, the Lord put on my heart yesterday in prayer that we're to fast. Listen, it's a real simple fast. One day a week. Okay, you eat. No. That's a real simple fast. Everybody's going to die, no problem. Don't be afraid of change, I said. Now, every Thursday, make lunch your last dinner, your last meal. Okay? I mean, so don't eat a 7-course meal at lunchtime. Praise God. So lunch every Thursday from now on. There'll be no cooking on our campus. Anyone else who wants to join in on this? You know, now if you're diabetic or something like that, I understand. You know, so you just use wisdom and don't lie before a worse thing happened to you. Amen? So every Thursday, there will be no dinner. Lunch is the last meal to the next morning. Nah, that ain't bad, is it? Nah. But see, we're going to do it in unity. All right? And we're going to fast. We're going to pray. Praise God. Everybody got it?
Amen.
God bless.